Views and opinions expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Thank you very much. And good afternoon. Welcome back to The Drive Time. It is Tuesday, January 17th. Today, we are going to pick up our conversation from yesterday. I told you yesterday, listeners, that we're going to be talking about this a lot. We're going to be talking about this until something gives. You know, how high is the water, mama? That's what Johnny Cash would have said. Why wait to raise the rates? Let's break the cycle of endless poverty and reduction studies and consultations. Why do we need to continue to talk about this issue? We know it's an issue. We know it's a problem. There's lots of solutions out there that everyone wants to continue to ignore. My guests in the studio this afternoon are Deb O'Connor and Paula Fillion. We're going to be talking about poverty here in the county. We're going to be talking about poverty in the province. We're going to be talking about solutions, not just consultations. Before we get to that, here are the Staple Singers.
The Bible.
Staple Singers from 1971 and their track, Respect Yourself. Today we're talking, again, we're talking about poverty in Northumberland County, poverty in the province of Ontario. Premier Kathleen Wynne's government has stated yet another cycle of consultation on poverty reduction. Since 2008, social justice advocates have participated in a series of policy consultations regarding social assistance reform, only to be disappointed every time by government inaction. Almost a decade of empty discussions about poverty reduction has shown that consultation is a diversionary tactic to avoid actually tackling the problem. After decades of intensifying austerity and eroding income support, social assistance in Ontario is now so wretchedly inadequate that people are unable to feed themselves properly, retain their housing, or maintain their health. The total benefit income for those who depend on Ontario Works and the Ontario Disability ODSP program locks nearly 895,000 Ontarians deep into poverty. Grocery shoppers know that the cost of food, especially fruit and vegetables, has increased much faster than core inflation over the past few years. Meat and beef, for instance, in particular, 30% increases just since 2005. Listeners, research on the cost of healthy food conducted by public health units in communities across the province show that social assistance rates are grossly inadequate to pay rent, eat a basic healthy diet, and buy other necessities. Now, this comes to us from the Ontario Social Assistance Poverty Gap. That's who wrote this, Kaylee Thiessen, Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives. This is from May of last year. But there's so much more. You know, there have been discussions, as this piece says. Deb O'Connor is with me in the studio, as is Paula Fillion. They're both with the Northumberland Coalition Against Poverty. NCAP, I believe, is what you're calling it.
That's right.
Now, Deb, you've been talking about this issue for 30 plus years in the province of Ontario. Paula, I know you've been dealing with this issue yourself since the early part of the 21st century. But the long and short of it is we've talked and talked and talked and talked. No one's doing anything. Nobody appears to be doing anything. Lots of consultations. Thank you very much for your remarks. Oh, what you had to say was so enlightening. That's some great solutions, some wonderful ideas. Lots of ideas, but no actual movement. Is that what you're feeling out there, Paula?
Yes, and actually one of the things that we talked about at the meeting the other night was what kind of political will we were going to see. Because even if the people that are currently elected and currently in power establish anything at all it takes is for a change of political party with the next election, and everything that we've gained is going to be lost.
All right, I'm just trying to fix your mic here.
Okay.
Oh, that's so much better. Now it sounds like you're actually in the room with us.
All right.
You know what, that's a very valid point, because one of the things we did see under Bob Rae, for instance, was he did increase social assistance. He did increase some of the benefits to people. And then along came Mike Harris. And of course, his response was, all we're doing is giving people beer money. So he took away the beer money. That's how his common sense revolution worked. What we have seen, though, for decades, is this austerity is a direct result of tax cuts. For the most part, I would think. I mean, we're looking at provinces, federal government, for instance. I mean, just yesterday they were talking about how they should be reducing corporate taxes yet again in this province. Because now Donald Trump's talking about reducing corporate taxes. I guess Canada has to follow in suit. But what people forget, or what people, I guess, blindly, you know, ignore is that, you know, tax reductions mean reductions of services. And it's the people at the bottom end of the spectrum, if you will, the people that are financially strapped. And I don't just mean the people on social assistance. I mean the people who are working for meager, what they used to call niggardly wages. The bottom line is people are being treated as indentured servants. We've got CEOs in this country earning on average 193 times what their basic worker earns. I was reading a report yesterday that these wealthy CEOs have earned more in the last, 17 days of this month than anyone of their employees will earn an entire year. That's part of the problem.
It is part of the problem. One of the things that I was actually reading about today was that a lot of people mention about corporate taxes need to be lowered and that it's all going to trickle down. Trickling down never works. What we need is seed money. We need growth. Everything grows from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the reports that I just read, Canada only has a 25 to 26% corporate tax rate, which in the industrialized world is actually the lowest
mm-hmm.
of any country.
It's actually only about 14%.
At the federal level.
At the federal level.
And then you add the provincial burden, as they like to refer to it, it gets up into the low 20s. But the reality is we're still at the bottom end of the spectrum. I looked at a similar report from a few years ago, and there's three countries in the OECD that actually charge less than we do. Ireland, Australia was for a time, and I believe Netherlands.
And actually...
And that's it. I mean, so the argument has always been, well, if we raise their taxes, they're just going to up stakes and leave.
But with the exception of the Netherlands, if you read any type of poverty reports or any type of ground level grassroots reports, Ireland and Australia are seeing an austerity regime that rivals any.
Mm-hmm.
They have more people living in poverty. They have more people who are homeless. They have more people with healthcare concerns simply because they do not tax high enough. They cannot afford to spend money on these needs mm-hmm. of the communities.
Following World War II, the corporate tax rate was close to 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So 50% of the revenue was coming from individuals and the other half coming from corporations. That's what allowed Canada to build the social programs that we've been so proud of and that have kept people out of dire, dire poverty.
Mm-hmm.
It was when they started dropping the corporate tax rate that it became more and more difficult to continue funding the programs.
Oh, absolutely. And again, nobody wants to talk about the direct correlation between those two things. Everyone likes to say, oh, well, you know, the people at the bottom end of the spectrum. I mean, it's almost as though people choose poverty. You know, you get up every morning and you say to yourself, you know what? I enjoy being poor. I think I'm just going to stick to what I'm doing. And unfortunately, well, that's just not true. It's. I mean, who would wake up on any conscious level and say that, yes, you know, eking out a living, working 12 hours a day for minimum wage, if I'm lucky enough to get a job, yes, that's definitely the goal I was shooting for when I was in grade six. I mean, it's bizarre to me that we live in this community, this society, where it's okay. It's okay to let people just, you know, it's you know, they blame the poor. They nobody wants to accept responsibility. Provincial governments don't want to accept responsibility. And yet the root cause of a lot of these problems are, in fact, government policies.
They are, with a lot of help from the big business community.
Mm-hmm.
In the 80s, they were annoyed with all the social programs and what they saw as a nanny state, and formed a business council on national issues. And they started hammering away, and the media joined right in, the media being mainly owned by some of these big corporations. And that was when the whole poor bashing began. So you saw poor people accused of being responsible for their own poverty, and mm-hmm. everybody decided people on welfare were lazy, they spent their money on beer, all of the things you were talking about, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, during the 90s, not only Jean Chrétien, but also Bob Rae as premier, made terrible remarks about poor people. And I think that when we say that it seems to be all right for people to be left behind and living in poverty, a lot of that is because of the poor bashing. It has become acceptable
mm-hmm.
to do that. And that makes it a whole lot harder for people to make the gains they need to get out of poverty. People will get out of poverty if they have a chance to do it. And the other thing we never talk about is the people who are disabled and who can't work, and through no choice of their own, they mm-hmm. are going to be on social assistance.
People like me.
There are so many examples. The big growth rate in welfare in Ontario has been the Ontario Disability Support Program. And we now actually have more people on disability pension in Ontario than employable people on Ontario Works. That's amazing to me when I checked into that I knew that the growth in the ODSP caseload was up, but I didn't realize that it had actually surpassed the number of people on general welfare or Ontario Works. So I think Mike Harris certainly did a good job when he killed the General Welfare Act and put in Ontario Works. It was a great way to force people off welfare. And all of the single parents who had been on mother's allowance, that program was killed outright. And mm-hmm. they were dumped on general welfare, on Ontario Works, and harassed to look for work. at an age when their kids were still in diapers at home. Mm-hmm. That's been a terrible burden to place on young parents with young kids. And the outcome for the kids, I don't think, is very good when you've got your one and only parent slaving away at a minimum wage job and too tired at the end of it to be paying attention to those children.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good for anybody to allow people to live in those kind of circumstances.
No, it never is. We're going to take our first break of the hour. When we come back, more of our conversation with Deb O'Connor and Paula Fillion. We are talking about poverty in the province. We're going to get specific here to Northumberland County in just a couple of minutes. Just one thing I want to throw out there. There's been a lot of back padding from people who have done all kinds of great work. Even the county of Northumberland is saying, you know, they've got some great poverty homelessness prevention funding that's coming through. But again, that's going to service agencies. That's not actually going to fund people who are living in this situation. We'll be back after this break.